Good morning. Thanks for joining us. We continue our series, No Stinkin' Thinkin'. And as we go through the series, and we're really just beginning, even though this is like the second and a half week, because 2 weeks ago we did Psalm 19, but really lent itself to a bridge to the series. But there is sort of a negative component, because it's kind of like no stinking thinking. Do you ever try to not think about certain negative things? Okay, let's try not to worry right now. The more you try not to worry, it's like, well, then you are worrying. You're thinking about worry or whatever the obsessive or compulsive thought is. Like you're thinking about it. So we've talked about taking thoughts captive, and that's kind of like grabbing a hold of ones that we don't want there. We've talked about the situation room, about the table, who are we going to invite, what voices, because we've got decisions to make in our situation room. We don't want to conform to this world. We want to be transformed by the way that we think, and God wants to assist us in that. Today, we'll be looking at what to uproot and what to replant. What do we want to grow in our hearts and in our minds? Because it will affect our thoughts and our emotions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd speak to us from your word. I pray that it would be spirit and life. It wouldn't be law, but it would be grace that would just give us the want to and give us the hope that we can be transformed by the way that we think. We pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory. We stand and lift up the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord.
Filled with His glory. The earth is filled with His glory.
This morning, I want to give a shout out to two authors that I will definitely be borrowing from, Max Lucado and John Ortberg. It was Ortberg's book, Steps, that really got me thinking. It had a lot of stuff marked in the book. I just write in books. I'll never be an ebook guy, and someone can try to talk me into it, doing it electronically, but I can just mark stuff and I write in their mind, and I knew it was going to be on the Mind series. Anyway, this whole concept of taking thoughts captive, 70,000 thoughts per day, which means since last week, that's 490. That's basically 500,000 thoughts. It can seem overwhelming, right? But here's the truth. You can't do it. You're like, hey, I tuned in to be encouraged. Now you're telling me I can't do it. You know where I'm going. You can't, but God can. And so we want to move in concert with God. We want to walk with Jesus. I love what it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and I'll probably quote a couple different verses. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, so you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. The ESV says, invites us to walk by the Spirit. I think the NIV says, walk in the Spirit. So then the question is, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? And I truly think it means that we're moving in step with God. There's a song that came out a long time ago. The album was called The Vigil. The artist was Kemper Crabb, and it was like a medieval vigil and had some really good stuff on it. So I want to read some of the lyrics to this song called The Dance. All creation moves in a cosmic dance before the Lord, her King, and the rhythms, the reason, the rhyme of the dance pulses within everything. And the universe wheels and whirls like a dervish in perfect seven-step time. The Lord made the dance. He taught her the steps, and he causes the songs to shine. Adam and Eve danced in Eden's environs. Early in Earth's morning air, they named all the animals musical names, glorious potentiality shared. But Lucifer sang out a serpentine song, and he offered death's dance as his token. In pausing to listen, Adam missed his step. Earth's harmony in the dance was broken. We must dance, dance, dance in God's honor. We must yield all our steps unto the King. We must dance, 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 dance in God's honor. Let his praises ring out throughout the earth. Jesus danced into the world singing his heavenly song. He taught the dance to those who would listen and learn as he moved along, but the steps of his dance led to a cross where he died while the haters mocked on. But he danced through death's arms and over hell's gate, and in 3 days danced forth from his tomb. And now we must dance, dance, dance in God's honor. We must yield all our steps to the King. I like that in the beginning we were moving in concert with God, but something threw us off. And you know what? Maybe something throws you off every day, but you can restart the dance. And that's some of what we're going to be talking about today. In the New Testament, there's probably the church that we think of that had the most problems was the church in Corinth. Maybe it was the rich Corinthian leather. I don't know, but they had a lot of problems in Corinth. In chapter 1, it talks about divisions in the church. Chapter 5, spiritual pride. Chapter 6, lawsuits amongst believers. Chapter 6 also talks about sexual sin within the church. Chapter 8 talks about food sacrificed to idols. You get my point. The book of Philippians just talks about joy and rejoice, but not the church at Corinth. And so to this ragtag church, the Apostle Paul gives an amazing affirmation. Of any church, this is the last one you'd expect that they would hear this. And in it, in chapter 2, verse 16 of 1 Corinthians, it initially it quotes Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. And it says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? Well, it's a rhetorical question, but the answer is, well, nobody knows the Lord's thoughts, and no one can teach him. But then Paul makes a profound statement. He says, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Now, if he wrote that to the church at Philippi or Galatia, we might be like, oh yeah, they've got the mind of Christ. But not these Corinthians. These Corinthians, they don't have the mind of Christ. Oh, but they do. And you today might be saying, oh, I don't have the mind of Christ. Have you invited Christ into your life? You do have the mind of Christ. It's just that sometimes it doesn't seem like it. It says that you have, not that you should have, not that you must obtain, or that if you do certain things, then you'll have the mind of Christ. You do have the mind of Christ. Now, this is because of our position in Christ. Let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Ephesians 2, 6. Another church where Paul has a lot of great things to say, but it's the church in Corinth that gets the truth about the mind of Christ. I love verse 6. It says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ." It means that God the Father raised us from the dead, past tense. We've already been raised from the dead spiritually along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So we are already seated with Jesus. Now you might say, "No, man, I'm like sitting in the hot seat. I'm doing everything wrong right now." Are you in Christ? Then you're seated in the heavenly realms. You need to start making that adjustment. You need to start accepting it. Let it sink in that you do have the mind of Christ. Now, Max Lucado tells a story, and any of us could probably tell the story, but he says in San Antonio, they got a really nice library. And I know a lot of people do stuff online these days, but going in the library is amazing. I remember in college, I spent a lot of time in the library. And it's just got this wealth of knowledge and information. But Max says that that library does him no good because he doesn't go there. He has the library. He has the library card. And see, that's a lot like us, right? We've got the mind of Christ. Oh, but I need to pick up my Bible and not make it an occasional thing where, oh, I visit the Bible once a week. No, let the Word of God get inside you, and you'll find that you do have the mind of Christ. I talked about this a little while ago about John chapter 14, where at first, I always thought that Jesus was rebuking Thomas and Philip because they're like, "We don't know where you're going. We don't understand. You say that we've seen the Father. We don't." And Jesus is trying to tell them, "You guys, you feel like you're not in the inner circle. I get it. But you've seen me. You get me." And so it's an affirmation to us that we do get him. But we need to focus on him. We need to focus on his truth because we do live in a world, right? So where do you live? I'm not asking for your address, but let me ask you this. Do you live in the past? You live in the present, or do you live in the future? We can only find or encounter God in this moment, this day, not yesterday, not tomorrow. We can only encounter God now. We're going to put a graphic up there, and I picked this up from John Ortberg, and I found this very helpful. The very center is now. To one side, and it's behind us, we've got our past. And then we've got our future out in front of us. And we've got our inner world that also affects us in the present tense. We've got the outer world that also affects us. So let me ask you about your past. Your past is connected most likely more to one of these words than the other. Is it gratitude or is it regret? And along with regret, it could be guilt. So do you get stuck in mistakes that you've made in the past? This past week was my dad's birthday. Now he's been with the Lord for quite a few years now, but it marked his 100th birthday. And it was just kind of a cool thing to mark. And I have so much gratitude for the mom and dad that the Lord gave me. And I appreciate them more and more all the time. Do I live with some regret? I do, but I try to limit that. So what's your past about? Is it about gratitude or is it about regret? How about your future? Most of us, our future is really all about fear and worry, or it's about hope. Which one is yours? Now you know which one God wants for you. But just saying that what it's going to be, it's not always that easy. Your inner world is a gift to you. Nobody else can access it unless you allow them to, unless you tell them what's going on inside of you. And most people will say they're glad that nobody else can see in there because it's our situation room. It's a gift. It's yours alone. It's where you dwell. Your outer world, God calls us to engage it. It's filled with objects, with nature, and most importantly, your outer world is especially to people. It's the people that are around you. Your outer world is a gift to you as well. You didn't create your inner world. You're responsible for it. You're a steward of it. But nor did you create your outer world. You didn't create... I've been seeing some of these reels on Facebook, and they'll say, like, the 10 roads you have to drive in America. And it's pretty cool, because no matter what they put up there or the 7 places you have to go, I've been to the vast majority of them, and I understand why they're saying it. Most of them are national parks or roads to national parks. But we don't create those things. All of it's a gift to us. The question is what we do with it. We didn't create either our inner world nor our outer world. But that's from the graphic. That's where everything intersects. Our outer world, our inner world, our past, and our future. It's hard to just be present in the present, isn't it? It's not as simple as it sounds. We are created to dwell in our inner world in peace. I'm not saying I do that all the time, but that's what your creator had in mind when he knit your soul together. And then our outer world was created that we would engage it with love. Everything that we do in relation to our outer world, if we're walking in step with the Spirit, is going to be motivated by love. We are responsible for ourselves. We're not victims. Things happen to us. Things happen in the outer world. Some things can happen even within us. And how we choose to respond, we are responsible for that. And so it's the psalm that we wrapped up, the Psalms for Summer series, that final verse, Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my king. That's your inner world. Give your inner world to God. He wants to work in it. Your outer world, he wants you, when you do offend someone, to take ownership for it and to confess, to make things right with other people. This is how our inner world, our outer world, our past, our present, how they all intersect. When we live in the now, it's like we're really living in eternity. Why do I say that? Because God is always in the now. He's the great I am. Not the great I was, not the great I will be. He is the great I am. He is always in the present. He sees everything at the same time. We can't understand it because we're not in eternity. But you know what it's like when you're really present and you're connecting with people that are around you. And I think we also know when we're not doing that. And as soon as we're done with the present now, we're on to another one. And if you get out of step in the dance, so to speak, just pause and ask the Lord to get you back in step. So, this sounds all so simple now, right? So, a few weeks back, it was before church, and I'd forgot something in my car. So, I went out to the back parking lot. I came in the back door, and I had 3 or 4 people that I had to talk to before service. Just small details, but needed to take care of this, this, and that. Had to happen before service because it had to do with the service. And so my mind was kind of somewhere else, but one of our folks was walking in, so I held the door. And as we were walking in, they were talking to me all the way down the hallway and all the way upstairs. And I nodded, and I feel terrible, but I'm sure that they felt like I was listening. I have no idea what they were saying. I was not present. I was not in the now. I was in the future, what I had to do. Now, that's a small kind of innocuous example. But sometimes we miss huge things. We miss huge things that people are trying to share with us. I don't think in this instance that was the case. But I can think of another case where someone was sharing something profound with me and I was missing it because I wasn't as present. I wasn't really in the now. But we have the choice to get back into the now. Now, a word that I like is improve. So I believe that we can improve our consciousness of being present with God at all times. And some of you are like, oh, wow, like all the time? Like that's a huge challenge. I didn't say perfection. Perfection is another thing. I said improve. What can you do to be more aware of being present with God and present with other people, being in the now, letting the past stay in the past, not worrying about the future? What can you do? How can you improve? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. So a lot of times we ask people, hey, how are you doing? Well, one of the things that was pointed out to me a long time ago is we are not human doings. We are called human beings. God gave us being. That's a big part of what it is to be human. And so the question, instead of asking people, hey, how are you doing? What do you think would happen if you went to people this next week and instead of asking that, you said, hey, how are you thinking? Not what are you thinking, how are you thinking? You might make people think. Because a lot of times we just give standard answers. How many times have you said you're doing fine, you're doing good, when you were not doing well whatsoever? Yeah, how are you thinking? You know, we've talked about how many thoughts we have. Also, I saw some research this past week that we have the capacity to handle 120 bits of information every second. That's crazy. We stored all kinds of stuff to memory and all sorts of other things, but we have a lot of stuff that's going on inside of our heads. I like this. St. John of the Cross said this, human health consists in conscious awareness of God. Conscious awareness of God. The notion of improving our conscious contact with God is a frequent theme in Scripture. It really is. In Colossians 3:2, it says, set your mind on things above. In Isaiah 26:3, it says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Are you fixing your thoughts on the Lord? Because that's the key. That is the real key in this situation. Wanted to share something else I picked up from John Ortberg. A lot of us would say that we want to be present in the present. This works better in writing, but the Christian mindfulness would be more being present to the presence, capital P, in the present. I'll say that again. It's obviously the presence of God. Are you being present to the presence in the present? Are you aware that Jesus is with you? If we really are, I think it will help us in so many ways. So, we shift gears here just a little bit, and we're going to get practical. I'm going to share something I picked up from Max Lucado in his new book. And he talks about when he was 12 years old, he wasn't old enough to go out and get a job because he couldn't legally get one, but he was old enough and strong enough to take care of the lawn. And he was plenty able to do that. His assignment initially was to eliminate grass burrs. Well, I had an idea what they were, but I Googled them, and sure enough, it came up Texas grass burrs, and they look pretty nasty. Now, we've got some burrs in our backyard, and Heidi was going out to get some out of there because we were having the grandkids come over, and then I saw this shirt of hers that was just covered with these burrs. It's kind of thing like that, only these things grow in the grass. They grow up about 5-6 inches, and Max says, I hope you never have to deal with them. What he said he and his brother did was they'd throw them at each other. Yeah, that's what siblings do. That's what brothers are for. And so his dad told him to deal with them. Let's get them out of there. And so he's just kind of like, yeah, that doesn't seem like much of a problem at all. So he cranked up the lawnmower. He went out there. He cut the grass. He said it was easy peasy. All the grass burrs were gone. Dad came home to a freshly cut lawn, and there were no weeds, no grass burrs out there. He was impressed. But you know, it was just a few days later when the blades of grass returned, and you can also imagine what came back with them. Yeah, it was the grass burrs. So his dad proceeded to give him a detailed lesson. You ever have your dad give you a lesson? Yeah, it usually wasn't a whole lot of fun. It usually meant that you didn't do it the right way, and the right way was going to be a little bit more difficult. So he took a garden spade. He got down on his knees and he dug up one of these weeds. Then another and another, and he had a small stack of them there that he had extracted. And then he handed me the spade and he said, pull them out. And Max said, all of them? And he said, yes, each and every one of them. Max said, that will take me a long time. Like he's telling his dad something he doesn't know. And his dad, very kind, says, not if I help you. And so he did. And after a weekend of weed pulling, they had a grass burr free lawn. Well, I think you can see that That's like our thought life. And I can remember pulling weeds, those big thistly ones, and just get the top of them off because it was nasty. You had to wear gloves, and I mean, they'd go right into your fingers, those stickers. But the problem is, if you don't get them out by the weeds, they're coming right back. The problem with your thought life is, if you don't do something with the root cause of those thoughts, they're coming right back. You might be without them for a day or two or whatever it might be, but just like those weeds, just like those grass burrs, some of our thoughts, they hurt. Some of them aggravate. Some of them agitate us. But it's time to get some of them out. What are your grass burrs? You know, it's different for different ones. And in the weeks to come, we're going to focus kind of on different things that we need to uproot. We're just going to talk about it generally today. But you know what they are. Talk to Jesus about it, because he wants to help you with that. So he wants you to get them out, get them all the week out, all the way out. And this last week, we talked about how Jesus had to deal with Satan coming at him with these lies and deceptions. And he dealt with it with the Word of God. And that's where we need to know what the Word of God says. We need, just like Max, you know, you need to avail yourself the mind of Christ. You need to go to the library. You need to avail yourself to the Word of God. Well, if we have access to the mind of Christ, why do I think the thoughts that I've always thought? It's a good question, but that's just it. We need to pluck out the grass burrs. We're going to need to replace them with something too. And so God instructs us to pull them out, each and every one of them. And we're like, each and every one of them, that's like endless. Yes, it'll take a long time, you object. But then God says, just like Max's dad, not if I help you. Now here's the deal. Max's dad was out there and he was helping him whether Max asked for it or not. His dad gave him no option. God gives you the option. It's your situation room. It's your mind. What are you going to put in it? That's up to you. What are you going to allow in it? What are you going to uproot? Who are you going to allow at your table? All the things we've talked about. God leaves it up to you. He does not force us. He will help us. He will work with us. He will guide us and teach us, but he leaves it up to us. I think that's very interesting. So once we do pull them out, well, we're dealing with a bit of a vacuum, right? And here's what Jesus had to say. I'm not talking a vacuum cleaner. I'm talking an empty space. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, it says this. Jesus was talking about casting out demons. And he said this, when an evil spirit leaves a person, it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none. It says, I'll return to the person I came from. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept and in order. Then the spirit finds seven other spirits who are more evil than itself. And they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than they were before. It's a spiritual truth. You can't have a vacuum. We have to fill it with something. And so that's where just encourage you to fill your mind with the Word of God. Let me share a couple verses from Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Let me just open up there. Have you ever heard God eats popcorn? I know it's theologically incorrect, but it helps me with Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, getting them in order. In Colossians 3:2, it says, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And then in Colossians 3:15, it says this, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. In the New Century Version, it says, let the peace of Christ change your thinking. Let it rule in your mind. God, we said it before, he wants there to be peace in your inner world. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, it says, let the message about Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Let the Word of God in. Don't let it just be a Sunday visitor. Allow the Word of God, the truth of God in you all the time. So, living in the present, it's a huge challenge. There's no question about that. But two good words I want to give to you. The first one is learn from the past. You know, so often we can just say, oh, I'm under pressure to live in the present. But no, we're intelligent people, and we can learn from the past. Your own past. but also the biblical past. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It's a profound truth. We have the whole Old Covenant. We got so much back there that we can learn from. And here's what it says. Such things were written in the Scriptures long ago to teach us. And the Scriptures give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. God had all the stories that we know. Egypt, Israel, Moses, David, Daniel, Deborah in the Old Covenant, Ruth, Peter, the whole story of Jesus, obviously, Mary, all of these stories. Why are they in here? So we can learn something from the past. And then we need to think about our future, how good our future is. And you know, the older I get, the more I realize I'm more than halfway done with this life, exactly where I'm at. I don't know, but I don't think I'm going to 112, which just makes me think about eternity more and more. And everything in this book tells me that my future is bright. In Christ, your future is incredibly bright. Think about that. I don't know how people deal with it just thinking, yeah, one day I'm going to be 6 feet under and I won't be anymore. Or worse, I will face certain judgment. Those are not good thoughts. But that second word, the first one is the past, that we should learn from the past. But the good word about the future, let's take a look at Joel chapter 2, verse 28. Joel 2:28. It says this, then after doing all these things, which is, this is a prophet, Old Covenant, referring to when Jesus would come. And then Jesus said, it's better that I go. Why? So I can send you the Holy Spirit. And that's what it says here. I will pour out my Spirit upon all people. I love that. Not just Israel. Now, the Holy Spirit is available to anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. Anyone. Doesn't matter, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, atheist, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what title you've always had. You can call upon the name of the Lord, and He will share His very Spirit with you. All people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. There's no sexism here. The Holy Spirit is for everybody. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, which is not to foretell the future, but to speak what Jesus would say if He was right here right now. And again, young people, sons and daughters, they're going to speak the words of Jesus. And here's what I love. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. Dreams, folks. There's a lot of people that don't have dreams anymore. I really felt in prepping for this message, this was something that the Lord wanted me to challenge you with. Do you have a dream? Yeah, you might have a dream for heaven, but God wants you to have some dreams here, in the here and now. And I'm sure that for some of you, they're for your children, for your friends, for your friends' children, for grandchildren, for great-grandchildren. Don't give up on your dreams. The Holy Spirit wants to give you dreams. And those dreams motivate us for the future. They help us to be present because we're excited about what's coming down the pike. And focus on those things. Choose to focus on the positive things you believe are coming. There are so many people that are living without dreams, living without a vision. Jesus wants you to live His dream, His vision for your life. And I guarantee you it's more exciting and better than anything that you could have imagined. Living His dream lights your jets. And, you know, it's going to be different things for different people. But when I was in college, after my first year, I went on a mission trip as a team member. Then after that, I went as an assistant leader for 4 summers. And then I got the position of a lifetime. Got to work with students. And I'll never forget that first summer that I was a youth pastor. And I can remember being in the church late at night, prepping stuff. There's all kinds of stuff to get ready to take 24 people to Haiti for 4 weeks. And I still remember some of the Michael W. Smith music I just had blasting in the church. There was a spring in my step. This was a dream coming true. And I've had a chance like another 60 times to do that. I love to do that. That lights my jets. That was Jesus' dream for me. It may not be for you, but He's got a dream for you. And when you're living in the present, living the dream that Jesus has for you, man, it just does not get much better than that. Now, somebody would be like leading mission trips and stuff like that, that's not for me. And besides, God doesn't speak to people anymore. Well, I would differ with that, and I do believe that God speaks to us. And I came across this by John Ortberg, because we questioned, kind of like, oh, I don't, God wouldn't talk to me. That's only for like those real spiritual types. God spoke to Cain. Cain was a murderer, the first murderer. Yeah, and God has a little conversation with him. Abraham was a liar, and you know what? They had a lot of conversations. And God said, you know what, Abraham, you're my friend. Moses, he was a fugitive because he was a murderer too. Yeah, and God spoke to him through a burning bush, and he talked back to the bush. David was an adulterer, Solomon, and he was a polygamist. God spoke to him, volumes to him, gave him great wisdom. Didn't always use it. Jonah was on the lam. He was running from God, and God talked to him. Lazarus was dead, and God talked to him. God spoke to a donkey. We don't know what the donkey's name was, but he spoke to and through a donkey. So why couldn't God speak to you and to me? And I'm convinced that if we'd just quiet down sometimes, or I think he's doing it anyway, and sometimes we don't even realize it. But just be open, because he still speaks today. I want to tell you one final story, because we do live in a broken world. And so kind of, how do we walk in the Spirit when we live in the world? And I thought that John Ortberg shared a good story here, and I share this. I've always liked dogs, but sometimes I go places and I can tell the dog doesn't like me. And so I act a certain way, and people say, well, don't be afraid because the dog will sense it. It's kind of like, but I am afraid. And the dog does sense it, and I get that. And I've been bit at least 2 times, maybe 4. I don't know. I've been attacked a few times. Yeah, I don't really care for that. But so here's how John Ortberg puts it. He said he's got a friend named Mark, and Mark has a dog. The dog's name is Lady. He said, really, its real name should be Beelzebub. You know, it's pretty evil towards him. Just flat out, this dog, Lady, does not like John Ortberg. And I totally get that. There are times. And he says, don't ask me why. I don't know why some dogs didn't like me, but they don't. And it's like, just there are certain houses I just prefer. I don't want to go in there, because I don't want you to have to restrain your dog. And sometimes, anyway, okay. John says that if I'm alone and know that Lady might come at me any moment, he said he'll experience like this adrenaline surge. His thoughts are anxious, his feelings are fearful, his head's on a swivel. But if I'm with Lady and Mark is present, I'm calm. He said, I'm calm as can be. I'm confident. I may not know whether Lady will obey me, but I know that Lady will obey Mark. And Mark is my friend. So even though I dwell in the valley of the shadow of Lady, I will fear no evil, for Mark is with me. Isn't that the way it works, folks? When you are aware of the presence of Jesus with you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. And your thought process is just completely different. So may you practice the presence of Jesus with you, and may it affect the way that you think. Lord, I pray that you'd touch us. You've spoken different things to different folks today, but I pray you'd help us to put into practice uprooting some things, filling some things with your word, and knowing that you are present. May we have dreams and visions for tomorrow, released from the fear of tomorrow and the regret of yesterday. And may we know that there are great days ahead, both here on earth and in your kingdom to come. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Thanks for joining us. I look forward to seeing you sometime soon in person. Feel free to, if you're on Facebook, to like it, to let us know that you tuned in, or maybe you just shoot me a text. It's one of the fun things is when we find out that there's people that we don't see, we don't know, that are tuning in. God bless you. Have a great week.